You've completed a sourcing process. You've reported thousands, tens of thousands, maybe even millions of dollars in savings. But are those savings really going to the bottom line? Or are they just estimates that look good on paper but never materialize? In the next 20 to 30 minutes, you'll learn why some estimated savings from sourcing processes never show up on the bottom line, and how you can ensure that your reported savings actually do come to fruition. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Purchasing and Supply Management podcast series. This is your host, Charles Dominick, the President and Chief Procurement Officer of Next Level Purchasing. And my guest for today is Barbara Ardell. Barbara is a Vice President at Paladin Associates, a consulting firm that offers an extensive array of services to assess issues, reduce costs, improve processes, and accelerate growth, resulting in improved productivity and profitability. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Charles.
Thanks for joining me today.
My pleasure.
Barbara, we both agree that a significant percentage of savings that purchasing departments report never actually end up being realized by the company. Can you give us an example of a typical situation where savings are reported but never realized?
Absolutely, but first let me start with a piece of data. Aberdeen's Advanced Sourcing and Negotiation Benchmark Report, which was published in January of 2007, reported leakage ranging anywhere from 14 to 40%. So you're right, it's a huge opportunity. A couple of personal examples, one from my experience buying corrugated for Procter & Gamble a number of years ago. That spend was in the millions, tens of millions actually, and the savings therefore were also in the millions. The way the process worked is that any new award required a plant qualification or a line trial. And in my experience, those line trials just tended to drag on and on and on, and often we'd get to the end of the contract period and the qualification had never been completed. Perhaps the new supplier required some line adjustments on the plant's equipment, or there were some other unknown switching costs. But I guess the reality is that the plants found it easier to drag their feet than to fight the new award. A second example comes from my experience in coaching a client on an e-sourcing event for polybags. This was, again, an event with multiple using locations, over $10 million in spend with a 10-plus percent savings. And in this situation, there were a number of long-standing supplier relationships. The spend hadn't been sourced in a number of years. And also, the using locations operated very autonomously. They weren't rewarded, nor were they held accountable for savings. And so some of the using locations just refused to switch suppliers. So the volume savings disappeared. And their attitude was, why should we bother? Nobody's making us. So what we saw was millions of dollars lost, huge wasted effort, and a couple of things we maybe don't think about, but the loss of buyer credibility, and what's the impact on long-term competition?
Okay, so are we able to distill some of these reasons into like a list of reasons that savings would never materialize?
Well, I've come up with four key reasons. The first is communication. That one's pretty simple. The using location just doesn't get the word. You've awarded the business to a new supplier, and they're still buying from the incumbent because they're not aware of the new award. And today, that's much more easily addressed with the use of e-procurement systems, catalogs, and contract management solutions. So that one's pretty easy to address. The next three aren't so easy. The second one would be inconvenience. And let me give you an example here. Think about awarding business to a new travel agency with a new travel website. And obviously, in this case, you've got a much larger user base, a much larger number of people that will be using the system. And perhaps the users are used to making their reservations by telephone and are a little bit intimidated by making them via website. Or perhaps the new website is very cumbersome and time-consuming to use. Or perhaps it has an approval process which creates delays in getting the reservations approved. Or perhaps they can't use their preferred providers. And so, for inconvenience reasons, the users keep doing what they've done in the past, which is buying from the incumbent. The third reason could be fear of the unknown. I know in a lot of cases there are long-standing supplier relationships. You know, Joe can call up the supplier Friday afternoon at 4:30 and have what he needs on his dock first thing Monday morning. It's almost like the supplier can read their mind, and they don't want to give that up. Or maybe there's not quite a good relationship between the using location and the incumbent supplier, but at least it's the devil they know. The fourth reason is closely related to fear of the unknown, and that is lack of trust. The internal customers don't trust the buyer to address all of the non-price criteria. You know, you've heard the term price buyers. They think we're all price buyers. And of course, we as sourcing professionals preach best value, but do we really take the time to understand what that is? So obviously, these last three reasons take a much more concerted effort to address: inconvenience, fear of the unknown, and lack of trust.
Right, and all very common problems. So what are some strategies for overcoming those problems?
Well, there are really several. First, I think it's helpful to get upper management on board. And one of the great ways to do that is to speak like a CFO. I have a colleague, Linda Payton, who was very skillful in this. She took a $1.6 million savings and, with the help of their finance organization, equated that to $3.6 million in sales. Boy, did that get management's attention. I think, secondly, you can link to corporate or business unit objectives. You know, we in sourcing tend to really focus on just the dollar savings. And I learned a lesson about that many years ago when I was working for Procter & Gamble. I was buying components for diaper raw materials. And in the diaper business, the raw materials made up a huge component of the total product cost. And so savings got really quick attention from management. I contrast that to my time in buying materials for the shampoo business. In that business, the raw material and packaging costs really made up a very small portion of the total product cost. And what really drove the business were new technologies and the ability to get to market quickly with product innovations or promotions. And so the savings really didn't get people's attention. So it's really important for the buyer to understand what are the business drivers, what is it that the using locations will really be motivated by. I think a second strategy, and very importantly, is to involve your stakeholders in defining your decision criteria and your measures. You really need to identify what are the potential concerns. Get input into the award strategy. Are you going to go single source, or are you looking at a co-source situation? If you're looking at co-sourcing, how can you minimize some of the pain and the logistics challenge and the efficiency issues that using locations face when there are multiple suppliers? One strategy I've used is not having more than one supplier per using location, and that cuts down on some of those issues. And I think also getting agreement in advance to realistic switching costs and non-price criteria and how those will be incorporated into the award decision. Next, I'd recommend involving stakeholders in the actual RFP or RFQ process. One easy way to do that is to have them involved in scoring the supplier surveys. You can also invite participation in the analysis of the RFP or RFQ responses, or invite them to participate in the live auction. There's nothing that gets excitement going in the stakeholder community than actually participating in a live bidding event. You can also gain stakeholder support for a comprehensive implementation plan. That's very important. You want actions, names, dates. Another thing you can do is work with finance to change the budgets to reflect the savings. That's an approach that was very popular at GE. That's the stick approach, I'll call. And contrast that with a carrot approach, where you can celebrate and publicize sourcing successes. This gives credit to the internal customers, it builds ownership, and it also creates accountability. How are you going to back down on a savings commitment when the CEO has seen it in a news report? And finally, you need to monitor expenditures to identify any leakage. Spend visibility is really vital in order to be able to do that.
And personally, I can vouch that all of those approaches do work. And I particularly like having the stakeholders participate in the entire RFP process. If you want to really drive a new supplier and the savings that that new supplier brings, it can't be perceived by your stakeholder community as purchasing's supplier.
You bet.
It has to be our supplier, a supplier that we as a company selected together. because definitely if it's purchasing supplier, especially if you're ousting a popular incumbent, you know, your internal stakeholders are just going to be looking for reasons why it was a bad decision to go with this new supplier.
And I have the battle scars to prove it.
That, I think, is one of the most powerful strategies. You know, you want people to come on board with you and support the new supplier selection. And they, in some companies, and in a lot of companies actually, have a lot of power to either help you achieve your real savings goals, your actually realized savings goals, or to prevent you from getting there. So you need to work in harmony with those folks.
Absolutely.
So, now, some of these strategies do sound like a lot of change management, which is a term that frankly intimidates a lot of people out there. Do you have any tips for purchasing professionals who want to be more comfortable being change agents?
You're right, Charles. It really is all about change management, and that can be a little overwhelming. You know, as I think back on my career, at times when I've been overwhelmed by a task, I always remember the saying, the only way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time. And so what I suggest is really breaking the challenge down into its component parts, making a plan, and working your plan. So what are some of the specific things that you can do? First, you can begin with the end in mind, to give appropriate credit to one of my favorite management gurus, Stephen Covey. Really understand where it is you're trying to end up, and then plan accordingly. You want to create a comprehensive change management plan that incorporates management and stakeholder involvement, as we've discussed previously. You also want to communicate, up, down, and across the organization. There should be no surprises, and as you said a minute ago, you really need to bring people along throughout the process. It makes sense to listen to your stakeholders. Believe it or not, we don't have all the answers. But also, listening and responding builds trust, which, as you recall, is one of those reasons for leakage. And then finally, learn from your mistakes. There will be some. And seek continuous improvement.
Great. Well, I think that your tips are excellent additions for purchasing professionals to add to their sourcing plans. But what about our listeners out there who might be a year or two into their contracts and maybe experiencing a lot of leakage? Do you have any advice for these people who need to rescue a contract that is not living up to its savings expectations?
Boy, that's a great question. You know, in an ideal world, we'd always be ahead of the game and be able to work all of this up front. But unfortunately, we don't live in an ideal world, and we often find ourselves behind the curve. Before I answer your question, though, let me highlight an assumption in your question, and that assumption is that we know where the leakage is. In my experience, that's often not the case, that we as sourcing professionals don't have good spend data. And so that's really critical, is to know where that leakage is happening. So once you do understand that you've got a problem, I'd recommend understanding the root cause. Leakage is really just a symptom of some of the causes that we talked about earlier, and that could be communication, inconvenience, fear of the unknown, lack of trust, or some other reason. And so first you need to understand what it is that's driving that leakage. And then you want to develop your corrective action plan, which addresses specifically those root causes. And not surprisingly, that plan will incorporate many of the components that we've been talking about already, which is management support, stakeholder involvement, an implementation plan with actions, names, and dates, and importantly, accountability.
So it could be something as simple as a department saying, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know we use that supplier now. No problem, I'll get on board. But there may be some harder challenges. Am I correct in that statement?
Yeah, you know, if it's the inconvenience issue that we talked about, where the travel agent's website is difficult to use or the approval process takes too long, we may need to make some process improvements. If we haven't considered some of the switching costs, we may need to go back and really address those. And certainly the lack of trust is something that will be addressed over time as we do a better job of involving stakeholders, listening to their concerns and responding appropriately.
Now, earlier in our discussion here, you mentioned that one of the keys to preventing leakage is introducing accountability for internal customers. This can be a delicate thing, especially in organizations where purchasing has been seen more of a support organization rather than a leader on the path to improved profitability. What kind of resistance can purchasing departments expect in these situations, and is some type of resistance impossible to overcome?
A good question. You know, the resistance can really be all over the map depending on the organization, and I'll be the first to acknowledge that some situations are much more different, are much more difficult than others. A lot of it has to do with the organization culture and the decision process. You know, in my experience, sourcing professionals need to do at least as much selling, and that would be internally, as we do buying. And that entails much of what we've talked about already. It means purchasing management selling to corporate management. It means sourcing professionals selling to our peers and to our internal customers. And in order to do that, we need to understand and link to the business objectives. We need to learn to speak like a CFO. After all, the language of management is numbers. Another thing we can do is be opportunistic. Look for the pain that you can relieve. I've found that pain's a great motivator. Publicize your success. Share the glory with your internal customers. And importantly, institute accountability. But finally, recognize that this is a process and that over time you will get better and better.
Great. Now, can you tell me a little bit about what you meant by pain? What would be a typical pain of an organization or an internal department that purchasing can solve?
Well, we all know that today a lot of companies are feeling pressure from energy costs. And that could certainly be a ripe area to go in and to make some changes. It's getting a lot of visibility. It could be that there's a problem with an incumbent supplier, and that could be a great opportunity to go in and source and introduce a new source of supply that could also offer us savings. So looking for situations where people will be motivated to change because of pain they're feeling related to the current business climate.
Okay. Well, Barbara, what else should a purchasing professional know about making cost savings stick?
Well, I think it's very important to not get overwhelmed or discouraged by the amount of effort I've described, because I know it's a lot. Change management is a big effort. I guess I'd first say, realize that not all projects require the same level of effort. However, you do want to take yourself through the process and make sure you've checked all the boxes, even if you haven't gone through as detailed an effort in every instance. It's important to recognize that the time that you spend on change management is not time spent, but is rather time invested. And I love the saying that came out of the quality movement in the mid-80s, that we never have time to do it right, but we always have time to do it over. Effective change management really eliminates a tremendous amount of rework. And the time investment that we make in change management really delivers a huge back-end payout in terms of dollar and time savings, but as I mentioned earlier, also in terms of buyer credibility, which leads to a long-term impact on competition.
Barbara, we have just a few minutes left for you to tell us about Paladin Associates and how someone interested in Paladin services can get in touch with an appropriate contact there.
Great, I'd love to. Paladin is a professional services firm that focuses on things like strategic sourcing, cost management, process improvement. Some examples would be strategic and e-sourcing. We bring extensive commodity experience in direct and indirect materials, both goods and services. We have proven processes that we bring to bear on a situation. If you need e-sourcing, you can work on our e-sourcing solution or we can work with yours. Paladin is a partner with IASTA. We offer spend analysis as a service, so we can give you a quick snapshot of your spend data, or we can perform a spend analysis that you can use as proof of concept to convince your management that it makes sense to invest in a spend analysis solution. One area that's been particularly fruitful for our customers is telecom cost reduction, where we've realized in excess of 30% savings on average, oftentimes through plan optimization without even switching carriers. Because we have benchmark pricing and pre-approved contract language, we can also implement those savings very, very quickly. Energy cost reduction is another area that we've got some expertise, again, that's very popular these days. Of course, we've been talking about change management and training as well. We have a seasoned Paladin associate who was the dean of Procter & Gamble's Purchasing University, who brings some great wisdom and experience in that area. In terms of differentiators, how is Paladin different from everyone else? We have proven practical experience. Almost all of our professionals have 25 years of experience with, often with Fortune 100 companies. We don't sell the A team and deliver the C team. Also, we're able to offer a gain sharing option, which means that if we don't find savings for the client doesn't pay. We're results driven, focused on rapid, practical, and tangible results. So you should think of Paladin for increasing your organization's capability through knowledge transfer, training and coaching, or through specific expertise, and bridging the resource gap, providing seasoned sourcing experts to supplement your existing staff. How do you get in touch with us? Our website is www.paladin, that's P-A-L-A-D-I-N, Associates, Inc., INC.com. My personal contact information is B as in Barbara, M as in Mary, Ardell, A-R-D-E-L-L, at PaladinAssociatesInc.com, or you can reach me by phone at 770-315-1581.
Thank you for that snapshot of Paladin. Definitely one of the things you mentioned, spend analysis, is so important to the type of things we're talking about today. If you don't know or are not able to track where the leakage is happening, it's very likely that those savings estimates, the purchasing reports at the beginning of a contract, are being lost along the way. So whether that service is attained through Paladin or done internally, it's, in my opinion, a mandatory service that that every purchasing department needs to perform or have performed for them.
Couldn't agree more.
Well, there you have it, folks. Hopefully you are now better prepared to make actual savings match the savings that you estimated. Barbara, thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure.
And on behalf of Next Level Purchasing, I'd like to say a special thank you to all of our listeners out there. I hope the information in today's program helps you all in having a more successful and rewarding purchasing and supply management career. And don't forget, if you want to have a more rewarding purchasing career, or if you're a purchasing leader and want to get better results from your purchasing team, the best approach to achieving these results is the SPSM certification offered exclusively through Next Level Purchasing. You can get more information at www.nextlevelpurchasing.com. So until our next podcast, this is Charles Dominic for Next Level Purchasing, signing off from this edition of the Purchasing and Supply Management Podcast Series. Good day.